Dear Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. How ironic that the first Sunday in Lent is also Valentine's Day. It's kind of one of those schizophrenic days. You know, Lent is all about giving up special treats. Valentine is all about giving special treats to the ones you love. Well, this morning Lent is going to win out as we share the sermon today. Well, this morning's gospel lesson was all about the temptation of Jesus. And one of the questions this text raises is, does God tempt us? Because the text starts by saying it was the Spirit of the Lord that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So does God tempt us? No, God does not tempt us. However, God does allow us to be tempted. He allows us to be tested. But God never tries to make us sin. God never tempts us to sin. In fact, the truth is we don't need any help from God or anyone else to get us to sin. You know, I love that little bumper sticker or saying that says, "Lead me not into temptation, I can find it myself." God never wants us to sin, nor does he ever tempt us to sin. In fact, one of the things the modern translation of the Lord's Prayer, and that's one of those things we never want to give up the traditions of a prayer we grew up from our childhood, but I think the modern version really is more theologically correct. We say, "Lead us not into temptation." And it almost makes you think you're saying, "God, please don't lead me into temptation." Well, he doesn't. Really, the modern translation, though, says, "Save us from the time of trial." And that's really more the intent of that Lord's Prayer. Not that somehow we have to pray that God won't tempt us, but when we are tempted, and we will be tempted, God, save us from the time of trial. Give us the power to resist the temptations that come from just living in this world. Well, God allows us to be tempted, or tested is a better word, because he wants our faith to grow and be stronger. And often it's precisely when we are tempted that we then are driven to God and make our relationship even stronger with God. There's a story about the Union Pacific Railroad when it was constructed and they built a trestle over a large canyon. And the engineer got one of the trains and filled it with double the payload and pulled it out and just let it sit on the middle of this trestle. And one of the workers exclaimed, "What are you trying to do, break the trestle?" And the engineer said, "No, I'm trying to prove that it won't break." You know, that's the whole point of being tested. It's not that God wants us to break, but God wants us to show with his help we can stand strong. Well, the temptations of Jesus, and as we look at him being tempted, really give us some ideas of how we can resist temptation in our lives as well. So after Jesus, we're told, is in the wilderness, he's been fasting the whole time, he is famished, the devil tempts him with a command to change this stone into a loaf of bread. Basically, the devil was encouraging him, use your divine powers to satisfy your own needs. And so in turning the stone into bread, ease your own pain and suffering. What we need to know, though, is this time in the wilderness was preparing Jesus for the cross. And had he chosen to satisfy his hunger in the wilderness early in his ministry, maybe he wouldn't have been able to resist or to go to the cross later in his ministry. That was the whole purpose of the devil in this temptation. If I can get Jesus, there was nothing sinful for him to somehow satisfy his desire for food. He was hungry, but the devil knew if I could get him to turn away from his suffering now, maybe I can get Jesus to turn away from his suffering later on the cross. But Jesus knew this time in the wilderness was time to prepare him to go to the cross. And so he resisted that temptation to fulfill what was a very strong urge to eat so that he might be better prepared down the road to accept that cup that God set before him. That raises the questions, are there temptations that we have to fulfill our personal desires that maybe go against God's desires for us? Do we spend and borrow money so much that we no longer have money that should be set aside to support God and his kingdom? Do we want fame or success so badly that we will lie or that we will cheat so that we might prosper and look good in the eyes of others? Will we be tempted to look outside of our marriages for personal pleasure when we're struggling with our spouses? The temptations are always there around us that we might give in to our own hunger, our own desires, rather than doing that which God would have us do. Well, how did Jesus get over those temptations? One thing we know, one of the first things is he knew his scripture. And he was close to his scripture, and scripture helped him in resisting the temptation of the devil. When the devil came to him and said, "Why don't you turn this stone into bread?" Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. "Man does not live by bread alone," and that verse continues, "but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." And so it is, we need to hold God's word close to our hearts. Because God's word tells us what are those things we should resist in the world around us. You know, we're not animals who simply respond to instinctual desires. We can make choices. John Ortberg, a popular Christian author, was telling a time he and his wife went and they were going to learn to fly fish. And as the guide was teaching them, he says, the most important thing is to think like a fish. Think like a fish. And he says, well, fish just respond to their instincts. Fish try to get the maximum amount of food with the least amount of effort. So your job is to cast out there the maximum amount of food that they can get at the least amount of effort. And they won't think, they will just respond to their instinct. Well, we're not fish. We're not bound to simply instincts that we have to follow. Yes, we have desires. Yes, we have wants that sometimes aren't in harmony with God's will for us. But we have the power with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, to follow what Christ would want us to do. And part of that is knowing the scriptures, knowing the Ten Commandments. Do you even know the Ten Commandments? Because you can't follow them if you don't know them. Do you know what the prophets say about concern for the poor and about being honest in business? You can't fulfill God's word if you don't know what it is. Have you read the Sermon on the Mount? Do you know what Jesus teaches us there on the Sermon on the Mount? Do you know any stories that Jesus taught us that teach us how we are to live? If we're going to resist temptation, first we need to know, what are we supposed to resist? What is it that God wants us to do? And so, knowing Scripture. You know, often Lent can be one of those seasons where you say, I'm going to really take time to spend in the scriptures, to know it better. Because first we need to know what God wants us to do before we can even strive to do it. And we see that when Jesus resisted the devil, he was quoting scripture as one of the ways even to help him know this is what God wants me to do and to resist those temptations. Another way to resist temptation is to have a support group around you to help you. We're a lot stronger when we have somebody else helping us. When you try to do your spiritual journey alone, it's a lot harder. So one of the things I like about Curcio, it's not just one weekend, a spiritual weekend, but the encouragement after that weekend is over to be a part of a small group. You know, and in a small group, whether it's a Curcio group or a Bible study or some other group, a women's circle, all of those things are gathering people around you that are going to help you walk a spiritual walk. And that's what Jesus did. At Jesus' greatest moment of temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? He took Peter, James, and John with him. Come, pray with me. So Jesus not only had the small group of the disciples, but even smaller than that, he had his three favorite disciples. And when there were moments of need, he brought them with him. And he modeled for us what we are to do. To resist temptation, don't walk it alone. Have that small group of people. Have that women's circle. Have that men's group. Have that Bible study. Have that Curcio group that helps you resist temptation when you are tempted. Well, the second temptation that Luke records is the temptation to seek personal power. The devil says, if you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Now, people always ask, I didn't realize the devil owned the kingdoms of the world. Well, really what it means is the devil is going to withdraw. It's God's. Ultimately, it's all God's. But if Jesus would just worship the devil, he would no longer strive to tempt. He would let God have the world, but it would not be a world worth having. Because if God had worshiped the devil, he couldn't be our Savior. And even without the devil, we would still be tempted. We would still give in to sin, but we would be hopeless if Jesus had given in to that temptation. But fortunately, once again, he takes Scripture. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he resists that temptation to be worshiped, to have power for himself. He thought ahead. He knew what his mission was. You know, when you think about people that didn't resist temptation, one of those was Esau, and the story of Jacob and Esau. When Esau was hungry coming out of the fields and Jacob had a bowl of porridge, he sold his birthright. He didn't think about what he was doing. His whole birthright for a bowl of porridge. He gave in to the moment. And that's often what happens in temptation. A moment comes and you give in to it without really thinking about, what am I doing? What are the consequences going to be down the road? And those consequences for Esau were incredible, because now the birthright, the Savior, was going to come through the line of Jacob and not Esau. And so it is the devil worships us. You know, grab for yourself what you can. Don't think about the long-term consequences. But Jesus shows us, no, worship the Lord your God. Power is not the end for us. And that final temptation of Jesus was for fame. From the pinnacle of the temple, throw yourself down and God will protect you. And in this case, Satan uses Scripture. And that's where we also have to be careful. Sometimes Scripture can be used out of context in a way that isn't true to its meaning. And so here, Satan uses Scripture to try and tempt Jesus. But once again, Jesus resists that temptation. He knows if he gives in to the desire for fame, he's not going to walk in humble obedience to the cross. After all, even though Jesus did miracles out of compassion, did miracles to heal, he always said, don't spread the word. Don't make a big deal of it. I'm not here so that I'll have fame. I'm here simply to do God's will on earth. And so Jesus resisted all those temptations. And that's one of the other things to know, is you have to have that long-term goal. He resisted the temptations in the early part of his ministry because he was going to go to the cross so that we might be able to get to heaven. And so when temptation comes to us, one of the things we need to remember is we're on a spiritual journey that leads us to God and leads us to eternal salvation. And one of the ways, just as knowing Jesus had a mission to fulfill, knowing he had a destination, helped him resist temptation, knowing we're on a spiritual journey helps us resist the temptations when they come. So this story of the temptation of Jesus is not only a celebration that he was able to resist temptation, that he was able to walk the path that led all the way to the cross, it's a story that gives us insight into how we can resist temptation. To know the scriptures, know what God expects of you, to gather people around you who will support you in your walk. You know, birds of a feather flock together, and the groups that we're a part of will dictate many of the actions we take. Be a part of groups that are going to help you walk the path that leads to God. And when you're tempted in the short-term gain, always remember, we're working for a long-term goal. We're working to be with God into eternity. And don't allow that short-term desire to derail you from your long-term goal. So remember, God does not lead you into temptation, but following the example of Jesus will give you the strength to endure it. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and pray with me. Dear Lord God, we thank you that we can see Jesus and we can see how he resisted the temptations, how he kept in mind the cross, he kept in mind the long-term goal. He knew your will, and he followed it. Lord, it is because of him that we have the hope of salvation. And as followers of Jesus, Lord, give us the strength. Help us that we may continue our walk, casting aside the temptations that will come day in and day out, to faithfully be your people now and into eternity. Amen.